This is Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News report, and I am reporting that in the state of Pennsylvania on May 30th, a Tuesday, there will be a day of action for imprisoned political prisoner, human rights activist, and journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal. A 2 p.m. press conference and rally at the Philadelphia DA's office is scheduled in the city of Brotherly Love, the once so-called capital of a hypocritical nation still practicing slavery, and a master slaver named George Washington, living with slaves in the city's famed President's House. The aim of this lawful and righteous demonstration is to pressure the DA's office to release documents pertaining to former Philly DA Ron Castile's handling of Mumia Abu-Jamal's appeals. Joining me on this news report is Rebecca, an early childhood educator and contributor to the campaign to bring Mumia home. Thank you for joining BTR News, Rebecca, for this report.
Thank you very much, Brother Scotty, for inviting me to speak on this important development in Mumia's case.
Rebecca, if you could, please tell our audience a quick biography of Mumia Abu-Jamal's eventful and courageous life.
Mumia Abu-Jamal has always been a teacher and a master journalist. As a child, he held forth with the neighborhood children on matters from civics to religion. At age 14, Mumia became the Minister of Communication for the Philadelphia branch of the Black Panther Party, which is where he first attracted the ire of the FBI. In his 20s, Mumia had a brilliantly developing career as a journalist when, in 1981 and 1982, he was framed and sentenced to death for the killing of a white police officer without a shred of forensic evidence, not to mention a huge range of violations of Mumia's right to due process. Mumia's many, many appeals were systematically denied by the Philadelphia courts, leaving him in a cage on death row for 29 years. Once during that time, when the date and time of his execution was set, his life was saved by mass demonstrations here in the U.S. and around the world. In 2011, his lawyers, Judith Ritter and Christina Swarns, were able to prove that Mumia's death row sentence was unconstitutional. In a less high-profile case, the imprisoned person would have then been released with time served, or at the very least granted a new trial. But Mumia was let out of death row only to face life in prison without the possibility of parole. And his lawyers at that time did not see a legal avenue to get him out of prison. In January of 2015, Mumia fell very ill and in fact was near death with what turned out to be hepatitis C. He had to sneak in his own doctor, also a former Black Panther, into the prison waiting room to obtain this diagnosis. Once properly diagnosed, Mumia sued the Department of Corrections for treatment of his hepatitis C. At first, he was denied, but he and his lawyers kept pressing, and this past January, a court order demanded that Mumia receive the Hep C cure, which he has, in fact, now been receiving since early April of this year. I need to add to this horrific tale of state torture of an innocent man that Mumia has continued his brilliant writing career and journalism from prison, authoring over 7 books, most from death row, which are excellent and compelling works of scholarship. And he has continued to record news commentaries from behind the wall, and he understands current events much better than many news outlets out here.
Thank you for sharing that information. I would advise the listeners that they can hear Mumia's social and political commentaries by visiting prisonradio.org. Rebecca, let us talk about these records American citizens are demanding to be released from the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office. I understand that an American court ordered that these court records pertaining to Mumia's case and appeals involving Ron Castile, who is a retired Pennsylvania Supreme Court Chief Justice. Why are these records important to Mumia's bid for freedom?
Mumia's attorneys need these records to prove that the former district attorney, Ronald Castile, as you said, helped to prosecute Mumia's case, and therefore he never should have heard Mumia's appeals when he later became a judge in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. He should have recused himself from Mumia's appeals case, but he refused to do so, and he denied Mumia's appeal. And in so doing, he violated Mumia's due process rights under the Constitution. Beyond that, we know there was a lot of suppression of evidence and corruption in this world-famous case, and we need as much disclosure from the DA's office as possible. We believe that these records will show Castile's involvement in this case.
The mobilization for Mumia, a coalition of human rights groups in support of political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, are asking the public to call the Philly DA's office to demand the release of all files in the Abu-Jamal case, as well as the files of the 16 other cases, all of which were heard on April 24, 2017. I have a question, but first let's give out the address and phone number to the Philly DA's office, which is located at 3 South Penn Square, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, of course, 19107, and the phone number is 215-686-8000. Again, the telephone number is 215-686-8000. Rebecca, what can you tell us about the 16 other cases in addition to Mumia's case? Do they represent other victims of Judge Ron Castile, who, by the way, not only is a former Supreme Court justice in Pennsylvania, but last year said he wanted to be appointed as a U.S. attorney? Please share anything you have about these other cases or points on Mumia's cases as it relates to this former judge.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Brother Scotty. Ronald Castile oversaw all 16 of the other cases as prosecutor and denied all of those other 16 people's appeals later as judge. As the Philly district attorney, this person, Ronald Castile, had been personally involved in arguing against Mumia's initial appeals application in the lower court. And I'll remind your audience that judges in Pennsylvania are elected, and that Ronald Castile's election campaign was backed and financed by the Fraternal Order of Police, and that, in fact, the Fraternal Order of Police also named Ronald Castile Man of the Year.
Rebecca, let's remind the audience again about the day of action for Mumia, which I believe is Tuesday, May 30th, I believe is what I stated. And what can people do to lend assistance?
We're asking that people please join us in Philadelphia on Tuesday, May 30th at 2 p.m. in front of the district attorney's office to demand the release of all of the files in Mumia's case. To stay in touch with us, they can please email bringmumiahome@gmail.com or visit our website at bringmumiahome.com.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that information. Do you have any final thoughts to share? Anything else you would like to share with our audience?
Absolutely. I'd like to talk about the timing of this very important case. Mumia's case and the cases of the other 16 prisoners were heard in court on April 24th, coincidentally on Mumia's birthday. Mumia won discovery, which means that the judge ordered the release, as we've been talking about, of the files in this case. These cases were heard during a political time of a political firestorm in Philadelphia that has shined the light on the notoriously corrupt Philadelphia DA's office, with the history of racism, suppression of evidence, collusion with the police to obtain convictions. And these were issues addressed during the recent Democratic primary elections for the office of DA, which produced a huge upset in Philadelphia. To the surprise of the establishment, an outsider and progressive lawyer, Larry Krasner, won the election. Krasner is a civil rights attorney who defended Occupy and Black Lives Matter activists in Philadelphia. He managed to mobilize a movement behind him that included anti-racist activists, labor, the black churches, and many youths. Although in the campaign to bring Mumia home, we see the limitations of elected office, we believe that the movement behind Larry Krasner and his message is very important. He denounced the tradition of convictions, of obtaining convictions over justice in the DA's office, and the movement he galvanized around him has changed the terms of the debate in that city. In the past, the office of DA has been hugely controlled by the Fraternal Order of Police, whose candidate is always certain to win the election. So this is an example of the people taking the power away from the Fraternal Order of Police. Lastly, I would just like to say that a win for Mumia is a win for all of us. This is a world-famous case, a break in this case would expose to the nation and to the world the corrupt methods used by the district attorneys in Philadelphia. It would create a crisis of legitimacy because generations of politicians have used racism and fear through the demonization of Mumia to win votes and advance so-called law and order politics. A break in this case would blow the lid off the lie that the prisons and the court are about justice, and would expose the truth that the so-called justice system works systematically to silence resistance and to keep people of color and the poor in their place. In order for real change to happen, people have to remain mobilized, people have to remain vigilant, and people have to remain in the street. And lastly, I'd like to plug a video that the campaign to bring Mumia home just completed making, and we're very proud of it, to watch our video, which is about Tuesday, May 30th, and the history of Mumia's case. Please search in YouTube for Release All the Records Mumia. Release the files, Mumia.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Release all the files, Mumia.
Release all the files, Mumia, and just type that in the YouTube search engine. Certainly, I'll look that up and pass it along through our social networks. Rebecca, thank you for your contributions to the campaign to bring Mumia home. You have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Brother Scotty, for having me, and you do the same.
This has been Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News Report. You can support BTR News today by making a financial contribution to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Thank you for your contribution and support of independent media.